favorite to them. Newsmakers on
WRJN. I'm Pete Ferrand. This is Newsmakers. Thank you very much for listening. On to a happier topic, I hope, this time around, than dealing with high-risk criminal offenders. Well, I suppose the recidivism rate for people who misplace punctuation marks is pretty high. We'll find out here from our guest, Jeff Rubin, who is the founder of National Punctuation Day, which is coming up on the 24th. You can find it on the web at nationalpunctuationday.com from Pinole, California. We welcome back Jeff Rubin. Jeff, hi.
Hey, Pete, what about high-risk language offenders?
Well, that too.
Why aren't there penalties for those people?
That's because we have free speech, I think.
Ah, but, you know, actually there are penalties, and those penalties are awarded to those people when they try to enter the business world and they can't write and they can't spell, they can't string together five words to make a coherent sentence.
This is referred to as consequences.
Yes.
Yes, and that and is, yeah. Yeah, you were telling me just a moment ago that you're saying 30% of incoming college freshmen, is that a national figure, have to take remedial English?
Yeah, it's actually, it's a 2004 report by the National Center for Education Statistics. Even more alarming than that, out where I live in California, get this, 60% of incoming freshmen at one of the schools in the Cal State University system needed remedial English. 60%. I mean, that's beyond abysmal.
Yes, and on the other hand, I suppose it's a good thing that the college wants to keep its standards relatively high and make sure these kids know English.
But, you know, they're frustrated. They're really frustrated. Some of the instructors are saying that there's a disconnect between what the colleges want and what the high schools are teaching, and they're saying that it would be nice if this work could be done somewhere else.
Well, yeah, because the colleges...
Meaning in high school.
Right, the colleges aren't supposed to be teaching that.
No, they're not.
And they also have to teach remedial math, and they have to teach remedial lots of other things, too.
That's right.
And that's, unfortunately, a big problem.
Yeah, so it's a sad statistic, and, you know, and then, you know, we're facing global competition like we haven't faced before.
Yeah.
And, you know, these kids get out into the real world, and they're at a disadvantage. I mean, people in other countries are speaking our language better than we do, and they're writing our language better than we do.
Well, some of them do.
Well, I'm not saying all of them.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know, we're talking about the business world.
Yeah, that is true. And people who are supposed to be, in foreign countries, people who are supposed to know English actually
right.
do is what the issue is.
That's right.
Okay. And I just am thinking that numerous times over the last years with the Internet here, how long have I had? I've had the Internet 15 years. But getting to conversations... That it's very nice. You get into a conversation on some subject that usually is some technical connection of whatever, but get into a conversation. You've got people from all over the world contributing.
Yeah.
And that's nice. That's very nice.
It's
and
wonderful.
Then they're all doing it or trying to do it in English, and you've got people from Belgium communicating with people who speak Chinese from Taiwan or whatever. And they're all trying to communicate in English, and it's a little dizzying after a while. All these people who don't know English and picked it up somehow, struggling away, and they are all writing in this sort of broken English. And in order to communicate with them, you have to come kind of respond, not in broken English, but in some kind of really simplified English.
Yeah, you have to dumb it down.
Yeah. And I mean that's expected. I nobody can know all of these different languages, and that's something that somebody should investigate. By the way, you know, communicating with people who have you know, rather marginal knowledge.
Well, do you have any spare time?
No. If I do, I use it to brush my teeth and other things.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, hygiene, very important.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks.
Not quite as important as punctuation,
no,
but
never.
It's right up there.
Okay, so you started Punctuation Day, National Punctuation Day, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, 2004, yeah, so this is the fourth annual.
After getting really upset at?
Oh, errors in newspapers. books, magazines, seeing more of them than ever. In fact, get this. This was in today's paper out where I live.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a punctuation error, but it's in a news article. And now that the A's, talking about the Oakland A's, now that the A's ownership group, here it comes, of which Bean is a part of.
Very, very clear.
Very clear.
Yes.
Okay, now supposedly the guy who wrote this is a college graduate. And then, of course, it was spell-checked and grammar-checked.
Sure.
Because those won't pick it up because the people who program those programs aren't educated.
Yeah.
And then it goes to an editor who missed it, and it gets put in the paper that way.
Well, in theory, it goes to a copy editor who obviously has a lot of other things to worry about.
And now you know why I have acid reflux.
Yeah. What were they trying to say in that sentence?
It was trying to say that Billy Bean, who's the general manager of the A's, is part of an ownership group for another team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed.
No, you never would have. Even if you had it in front of you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have figured that one out.
Now, last year when you were on the air just a hair over a year ago, because we talked after National Punctuation Day last year.
Well, you have a good memory.
And I had a copy of the local Racine Journal Times here.
Oh, I remember that.
That just came out that day.
That day.
And it had, on the top of the front page, main headline, had, I think it was a misplaced apostrophe.
Yes, I remember that. We talked about that.
Yeah, it was extremely, today I did not notice any such thing.
Are they still embarrassed?
I hope so, but they're also still in business, which is encouraging.
Maybe we should both post that on our website every year in honor of National Punctuation Day.
To celebrate it.
There you go.
Jeff Rubin is our guest from Pinole, California, which is basically across the bay from San Francisco. Any questions on punctuation or the enforcement thereof? 634-9756-634-WRJN. I noticed the first picture on the visitor-submitted photos on your NationalPunctuationDay.com website here is from Wisconsin.
Yes. In fact, there are a couple of them.
It's not a... It's not.
What is going on in Wisconsin?
Well, there are a lot of things, and I think there's people who just don't pay attention to these important points. Now, the thing that you have here is from Bayside, Wisconsin, which is a tiny community just north of Milwaukee, as I recall, and it's a spelling thing rather than a grammar.
Yes, but did you scroll down to the other file? I think it's on page 2.
Okay.
You're talking about the cemetery misspelling. But if you scroll down to the next page, you will see one that was taken in Brookfield, Wisconsin, at the Isle Royale Camp Shelter.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I think it's on a an outhouse wall.
Yes, here it is, right. Yes.
Can we say this on the air?
Oh, sure.
Don't like farts, F-A-R-T apostrophe S.
the whole concept. I guess that was real popular among the kids.
It was. If you would think, I mean, how many kids would know that it was incorrect?
Yes.
Yeah, but there's one just to the left of it. There's a guy. This one was taken out near me. There's a guy who does advertising specialties. He'll put your company name on all kinds of things, pens, pestles, whatever. And he's got this sign plastered on his door, one of these magnetic signs. And essentially he says that our stuff gets you noticed.
Right.
G-E-T apostrophe S.
Yes.
So would you like to have your advertising specialties printed by this guy?
Well, he's right. It does get one noticed.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But I don't think in the way that you would like to be noticed.
Not really, although... Again,
who would know?
Well, that's the issue, and that's what I suppose I'm asking here is, have we made any progress in the 4 years here that you have seen?
Well, I must say I am doing my part.
Well, yeah.
My wife and I are traveling around the country performing assembly programs in elementary schools called Punctuation Playtime. We teach the kids 13 punctuation marks with games and activities and songs.
Uh-huh.
And I have to, we did four programs yesterday in a school out here. And I have to tell you, these kids get it. First graders, second, yesterday we did first, second, third, and fourth grade. And, you know, you'll always have those smart kids, that one or two kid in each class, they know everything.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had a fourth grader who actually knew how to use the semicolon.
Okay.
We've done 34 of these programs. This is the first kid who knew how to use a semicolon.
Well, I suppose that's either, you know, it could have, now, of course, it could have been his mom or dad as a teacher and spend some time with that particular subject. But usually we learn these things because we read a lot.
That's true. And it should be taught in school. Now, I know punctuation is part of the state testing in all 50 states. Yet my teacher friends tell me there's not a lot of time spent on punctuation. I have a friend in Rhode Island, for example. She's a second-grade teacher. She tells me they work it in when they can. But it's really not part of the syllabus.
Yeah.
I think it's really sad.
Well, this is one of those things that should be taught, not only as a separate thing, but should be taught along with everything else, that when
yes.
the kids are writing or when the teacher is writing, that attention is paid to punctuation. And if the teacher writes something that has an unusual punctuation, not that it's wrong, it's just unusual because of the way he or she wrote it out, that the teacher can point out why they made that decision.
But some of the teachers don't know.
Well, that's a running problem, yes.
Yeah,
and then there's the other problem that we brought up in past years of getting people to care about it to begin with, because most people that I've pointed out punctuation errors seem to blow it off.
Yeah, you know, it's really sad. You know, when these kids get into college, this survey that I referred to before by the National Center for Education Statistics, they interviewed high school teachers and college instructors, and get this. This is a really alarming statistic. The high school teachers are stressing story development and character development.
Yeah.
The college instructors ranked punctuating the end of a sentence correctly as the second most important thing in effective writing. High school teachers rank that skill as the 31st most important thing.
Now, that's interesting. It may reflect...
There's a disconnect there.
It also may reflect the ability of the teachers to teach these items. They feel they can teach the creative stuff in high school, but can't teach the punctuation in high school, for example.
And that's why we try to get to the kids really early. That's why we only work with the little kids, the elementary school kids. You know, the middle school kids, you know, their hormones are starting to kick in, they're text messaging, the girls are in cliques, the boys are in cliques, they're going to cheerleading practice, stuff like that. They don't really care about this stuff. How do you reach those kids? I think we can reach the little ones.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can reach middle school kids in any subject particularly.
Yeah.
It's a really real struggle. The other thing is to incorporate this thing into the world of text messaging, which we obviously are, and we're going to stay there for a long, long time. Text messaging has its own set of grammar and spelling and all these other things.
Yes.
And there's a right and a wrong way to be understood.
And there are no vowels in text messaging.
Right. Okay,
yes.
Fine. Oh, all right, fine. There's no vowels, but
no vowels.
There's other things that you have to do in order that the person understands what you're trying to say.
You know, my publicist has teenagers.
Uh-huh.
And he will send me emails in text message language.
Mm-hmm.
And I will send them back and say, please, full sentences. Last week he sent me a message. Honest to God, it looked like that garbled type that printers use when they just want to flow type in to see if it's going to fit.
Oh, that Etouan-Chernloop thing?
Yeah, the Lorem Ipsum type.
Yeah. Oh, the mock Latin thing.
Yeah, the mock-up type, yeah.
Yeah.
So I sent them back and I said, are there any real words here? So he translated it for me.
Uh-huh.
But honest to God, this is the stuff that kids are texting to one another.
Well, I don't have a problem with that at all.
No,
because
I don't know. I want to be in that world.
Because this is a different language
yeah.
that applies to this particular environment. It's not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of, in this environment, this is the right thing to do. It reduces time spent. It reduces worn-out thumbs, that kind of thing.
Right. And so let's take it one step further. There's a school district in New Zealand that allows the students to write in text message language on exams.
Okay.
Now, how do you feel about that? And how is it going to help those students when they get out into the real world?
Yeah, that's a problem for most subjects, I would think.
Yeah.
Because the idea of teaching, you have to teach standard English somehow. You don't have to use standard English all the time. That's up to you.
Right.
But that you have to know it. And, yeah, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense unless it's a very specialized course, I guess.
No, it's not a specialized course.
Yeah.
And you do have to use it in the business world.
Yeah, although there's also a time and a place to use that text message language in the business world also, because people, especially in the next few years, will start to use that in the business world between PDAs and that sort of stuff, between cell phones.
Well, you know what's going to happen. I mean, 5 years from now, no one will be text messaging. Everything will be voice activated. So you speak into your cell phone, and it will translate a text message for someone.
Well, maybe not.
You might not even have to punch up things.
Yeah, these things of course change. Yes, there's no question about it. But yes, you have to know how to communicate. And there's a right and a wrong in all of these things. And when I see people who blow off the punctuation, not that people shouldn't make mistakes, we all make mistakes at some point, but when I see people blow it off as being unimportant, the next step to that is if they are working on a car and they blow off tightening the last of the lug nuts or don't tighten the lug nuts properly, the wheel falls off and people can get killed.
And what happens if there's a punctuation error in the documentation that someone's working on, a mechanic?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the result is misinterpreted, misread, and the wrong thing happens. Sure.
Yep. It's important in math as well.
Yeah, although
misplaced decimal points. You know, science uses apostrophes and commas and colons and hyphens and dashes.
Yeah. Oh, sure. And that's important. All right. So, what else are you doing to get the word across? Anything new from last year?
Well, other than the program, we now have an official meatloaf of National Punctuation Day.
Ah, finally.
So we are, yes, I know everybody's been waiting for a food item, you know, because all this education can be dizzying. So, you know, at some point, you know, you just have to kick back and relax and have something to eat.
Right, okay.
So why not have a meatloaf in the shape of a question mark?
Oh, okay.
Or an exclamation point.
And there is a PDF on your webpage to illustrate this.
There's a PDF on my website, and I invite your listeners over this weekend, as we approach National Punctuation Day on Monday, to bake a meatloaf in the shape of a punctuation mark, take a photo of it, and send it to me.
Okay.
And we'll post it on the website. We might even have a recipe contest.
Yeah, this recipe is extremely simple.
Yes, it's very easy. It's very easy. You know, what struck me about it when I first saw the recipe is that you spooned out the ground beef mixture with an ice cream scoop.
Yeah.
And you put it in a little muffin tin. So you kind of made little meatloaf muffins.
Okay.
And then I got to thinking, well, why can't we expand that a bit? Why can't industry manufacture baking tins in the shape of punctuation marks? I mean, what have they been waiting for? They have an opportunity here to improve the knowledge of millions and millions of people.
I like that. Well, you'll probably have it on the webpage next year.
I will. I promise.
punctuation, right. Okay. Okay. What are you doing for National Punctuation Day other than appearing in all as being the king of all media and punctuation?
Right. Well, we sort of have a tradition out here where my wife and I go out for bagels and coffee.
Okay.
And we mark up the local paper. That's the same paper, by the way, of which that guy is a part of.
What?
Okay?
Who's that? Oh, yeah, that you talked about before.
Right. Yeah.
It's
very confusing.
This is the Examiner, or?
No. Actually, the Examiner is now a free paper.
Okay.
But the Chronicle is the big cheese
right.
And it's terrible, too.
Okay.
But this happened to be the Contra Costa Times, which is the paper in the East Bay.
The closer to you. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we mark them both up with a red pen, and we send them off to the editors. And you can imagine, after all these years, how popular that makes me. And then we drive around with my digital camera, and we take pictures of incorrectly punctuated signs and billboards and store signage and stuff like that. There's a wonderful sign in front of a school near where I live that talks about that the right lane, only buses may turn from the right lane, B-U-S-S-E-S.
Okay.
So I'm thinking only people who are kissing
right.
can turn at that corner. So that's what we do. We drive around, and we take pictures, and then we put them on our website.
Okay.
And I invite your listeners to do that. We've had some great response from Wisconsin.
I see that.
Yes.
that. And everyone else can see that. NationalPunctuationDay.com. Yeah, well, very good. I don't know. Papers should, ideally, and everybody else who has a news-type webpage, should ideally put up things like this and hold these organizations up to ridicule. But for some reason, they don't.
No. You know, I think everybody's just too sensitive. How did we as a country who revolted against the people who brought us over here and we founded our own country, how did we ever get to be so politically correct that we don't want to offend anyone anymore?
Okay, and that is a question for the ages.
And we might talk about that next year.
And we might discover the answer next year. Jeff, I thank you very much for our conversation today. It's been fun as always.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Jeff Rubin, founder of National Punctuation Day. I'm Pete Ferrand. Talk to you between 5 and 7 o'clock this afternoon.
Where you heard it first, News on 1400.
WRJN
Racing Kenosha.